Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the d'Amico International Shipping first quarter 2016 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Marco Fiori, CEO of d'Amico International Shipping. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us in this first appointment of 2016. I would like to start by welcoming Carlos Balestra, the new CFO. Really, we're very excited that he's on board. He knows well the group, and so I think should be a very good, a very positive event for the whole company. So good luck to Carlos. Well, anyhow, starting very quickly, exactly, if you want to go on page 3 of the presentation. Okay, point number 1, we had a very strong result on Q1 of $7.2 million of net profit. As you remember, we discussed in Q4, the results were not that good. There was a rate around $15,000 a day, kind of disappointing on the spot market. Finally, as we had said before, that we expect the year to turn around, I think Q1 was kind of positive and has proven the turnaround with much higher rates than we had in Q4 2015. The spot in Q1 was about $18,076, very similar to what happened last year, but much higher than what happened in Q4 2015. Like we said before, at $15,673 was the Q1, so it's a higher number than that. Coverage of TC, 47%, still a very healthy coverage. We have but not close to the 60%. We still feel there is a good spot market. We're proven right. There is still $18,000 per day with it. That was a good decision, so we're still enjoying the benefits of a strong spot market. TC, the global TC blending and the average of the spot and the time charter equivalent, was $16,970, so slightly higher than what we did in Q1 2015, and naturally, is much higher than what we did in Q4 2015. So as we said, net profit of $7.2 million, a very strong EBITDA, $21.6 million, 28.8% marginality, which is very strong. Operating cash flow of $25.5 million in Q1 2016, also very strong cash generation. Implementing the investment plan, as said, our 22 ships plan is still going ahead. We have still some CapEx, and we can see later on how this is proceeding. If you want to turn now to page 5, we can see the main events. Warrants, 2012-2016, that was the period. Last window of the warrants was this January. $17 million of warrants exercised at $0.446 per share. That means that the warrants program has been exercised at 98% and has generated only in the Q1 of this year, $2.9 million, which is a good number, very good number. Buyback program is still going ahead. We feel there is a strong value in the company, so we're still going ahead with our buyback. We have renewed the buyback approval for continuing the buyback, and I think that this is another very good way of creating shareholders value by buying back shares of the company. Long-term incentive plan has been approved, has been brought to the board, approved by the board, and I think it's a very good way of securing good long-term partnership with all our colleagues. This is a very strong team. I feel it's a winning team. We've so far proven that, and by securing this kind of team, I think we're doing the best interest of shareholders. New financing, $250 million financing has been secured. Very, very competitive rates. Great group of banks, all the top shipping banks. This loan was oversubscribed. So I think, and this loan has been putting the last peg about all our funding needs on that we needed for the new building program. New ship lease changes, new eco building was delivered, and then there's been some employed, and there's been also employed on a CLTC with an oil major. We had some TC out contracts on two MR vessels. 3TC vessels were redelivered to their owners, and we did a contract and an extension of 6 further TC that were extended with delivery between 17 and 19. Page 6, highlight, spot returns was kind of mixed, but it was very healthy because, as we said, we've been improving dramatically from Q4. And if you remember, in the last conference call we had, I was expecting a 2016 year with a lot of volatility, but with an average good result of the on TC spot. I think this has been proven so far correct. The spot on this year so far has been over $18,000 per day, which is a very, very good rate. This is due to the global oil product demand that is still growing. Product stock have been still growing also those, but we will see that probably in the future there's going to be a dramatic reduction of product stocks, especially by the strong gasoline demand that's going to be happening in the United States, where everyone is expecting a very strong driving season. Product tanker demand is growing, as we said, mainly for the factors that we said above. Fleet profile, page 7, blended between owned and chartered in ships is always around the 50%. At this point, it's 54% for the owned ships and 46% for the chartered in ships. As usually, our fleet is more an MR fleet than a handy fleet. All modern ships, 7.6 years average, much younger than the average of the industry, which is 9.8 years. Very in compliance with all the industry regulations. And as we said, we have been ordering 22 new buildings, 12 MRs, 4 handies, and 6 LRs, of which 11 have been delivered, and 11 still have to be delivered. But the most important thing, 14 of these ships have already have contracts from 18 months to 5 years of charter. So we have a very good coverage at this point also of these ships. Top quality coverage book, all the main oil majors and charter and trading companies are part of our book. Page 8, financial results, just to give you just a hint on this, I think it's important to describe a little bit our strategy. I think one of the things that we have a little bit different from everybody else is the ease of accessibility of top charters in our market. And you can see that we can do long-term contracts with a lot of very brand good names. As a matter of fact, 2016, you can see that the TC average is going up until 18. You see the number is decreasing of coverage, but the TC generated by this coverage is going up. Mainly why? Because the old contracts are coming to expiration, they're substituted by the new contracts with much higher TC rates. Naturally, all this 29%, for example, in 2017, will be naturally brought up to 49, 50%, and so 18 as we get closer. But just to show you how we are getting higher rates in average due to our TC contracts that we have done just in the recent past. I think on the financial results, I would like to give the word to Carlos, who just joined us, and again, welcome him back on board.
Thank you, Marco, and good afternoon to everyone. So we're going to have a closer look at the financial results of this in the first quarter of this year. TCE earnings came in at $75 million, which is slightly below last year, but this is almost entirely attributable to the lower number of vessels operated by this in the first quarter of this year. There were on average 2.6 less vessels in this first quarter. EBITDA came in online with last year at $21.6 million, a very healthy margin of almost 29%. As Marco pointed out earlier in the presentation, the overall blended TC equivalent rate, daily equivalent rate, was in line with last year, even slightly above at 16,970 relative to 16,939 in the first quarter last year. Net profit is slightly below last year. The difference is mostly attributable to non-recurring profits on hedging items, which benefited our results in the first quarter of 15 and we didn't have a similar effect in the first quarter of 16. So of the $4.2 million difference in net profit relative to the first quarter of 15, $3.5 million is attributable to this positive non-recurring effect in the first quarter of 15. Overall, I would say it's a strong performance, and even relative to the first quarter of last year, which was an exceptionally good year. If we go over to page 11, we have a more detailed analysis of the daily TCE rates, both for the spot vessels and for the vessels on time charter contracts. For the spot vessels, we see that the daily TCE for the first quarter of 16 was 18,076. That's 2.3% less in the first quarter of 15. This result is it was influenced negatively by the performance of the handy vessels in the first quarter of the year, which earned around 13,500, whilst the MR vessels averaged, the MR vessels on the spot market, more than 19,000. So this was a bit of an anomaly. In the first quarter of 15, we actually had the opposite. We had, and that was also an anomaly to a certain extent, we had the handies even earning more than the MRs. In the first quarter, in April, 16, we are seeing that this anomaly of the poor performance of the handies is has disappeared, and the earnings on for both types of vessels are much more aligned, and for both types of vessels they are above 17,000. So these are very preliminary figures that we have, but it shows that you know, we're having a good start to Q2. Which we expect to continue, especially when the driving season kicks in, and then we expect an even stronger Q3, probably like we had last year. Coverage-wise, the fleet was covered at around 47%. Which is slightly more than the first quarter 15 at 44.8%. As Marco mentioned before, there is this a rising trend of the daily TCE for the vessels on time charters, and so that has risen over the last four quarters. And for Q1 16, it was at 700, and we expect it to continue rising over the next few quarters. Going on to page 12, for our remaining capex, we expect it to be financed 2/3 of that with bank debt. But since on the first installments they were almost entirely equity financed, of the remaining installments, 83% should be financed with bank debt, and that means that the residual equity that has to be invested by us for these vessels is only around $54 million, so that puts us in a very comfortable position to have secured bank debt for all our residual new building program. If we go on to page 13, we look at the net asset value progression. Relative to the end of last year, the fleet market value decreased by 2.9%. To a certain extent, of course, that is the result of the aging, natural aging of the vessels. But we did see a slightly stronger correction on the older vessels. That is the result of a lack of liquidity in this moment on the second-hand market for the resale of these vessels. It doesn't reflect, in our opinion, the fundamentals of the market. But our younger vessels are on the water, and our new buildings, the valuations were pretty steady relative to December 15. Overall, the NAV per share declined from $0.88 to $0.78, but that's still comfortably largely above what the share price of the company is in this moment. If we go on to page 14, we look at the net financial position, and we have still a very comfortable situation there, with a ratio of net financial position to market value, which has risen slightly relative to December 15 to 56.6%. But it's still low, and leaves us in a comfortable position with a strong balance sheet. The investments in the first quarter for the installments for the vessels under construction and for the last installment on the vessels delivered, the High Trust, amounted to almost 39 million in the first quarter 16. That was mostly financed out of operating cash flow, which was of 25.5 million in the first quarter of the year. That was a very healthy figure, which was the result of 21.6 million EBITDA and also a positive generation in working capital, which is due to some timing effects and also to some receivables. Overdue receivables, which were cashed in the quarter, so to a certain extent, we don't expect such a positive effect to occur also in the next quarter, and there might also be a partial reversion of this effect, but we're still very happy with the cash generated in the first quarter of 16. I pass it over to Marco for the market overview. Yeah.
Carlos, thank you very much. I think that was very good numbers that we've been hearing. Actually, we're all very pleased here about those numbers. On the market overview, I think as usual, we always have the same charts here so we can see the evolution. You can start seeing on the left that the spot market is starting to pick up again. That seems to be indicating in the future there could be a pickup of TC rates, because normally they follow the spot. And on the right-hand chart, new building and second-hand values, we can see that second-hand and new buildings are still lagging behind, and time charter is going up, mainly because we feel there's not much financing available for buyers of second-hand and new buildings. And especially, there's been a lot of tonnage being sold on the market from owners who have also dry cargo, trying to sell tankers in order to be able to put the money back on the dry cargo side, which has not been doing very well. The product tankers rates have been doing better after the correction of last year. I think the current rates for an MR is about 17,500 for 1 year TC. So we're starting again some good numbers, and on the spot is also better numbers. Refinery margins have been sustaining these levels. There is higher refinery margins. Refineries are trying to have a large output, and therefore there's a lot of demand of ships. On the demand, on the balance, you can see that the ton mile is still continuing to expand at a higher pace than the supply of ships, which is good because it's getting creating demand of ships. Global oil demand, especially in non-OECD countries, is still growing, especially from countries like Africa. There's big growth in this part of the world. And not having a lot of these countries' refinery in the country, there's going to be more and more of needs of supplying products into these countries. On page 18, as a matter of fact, as a refinery growth, you can see that big elements of growth are in China, Middle East, far away from where products are going to get consumed. Africa is not very big. Other parts of Asia is not very big. Europe is growing down. There is a destruction of refining. Australia, same thing. So at the end of the day, you can see that a lot of the world is getting concentrated, the refining, in fewer and fewer places, and the demand is expanding from farther and farther away, which is very good for us. If we go on the market opportunities, I think in summary, we have the strong trend of refineries shifting away. Short-term charters have increased. We can see a lot of building up momentum on the charters market, the time to charter ships, because the field and market prices will be going up. Ton mile is improving. World oil demand is still supported mainly growth by non-OECD countries. Therefore, there's always a lot of hope and optimism about the fact when the OECD countries will be joining this expansion. Reduction in new building orders, very reduced new building orders, 16 and 17, very reasonable numbers, with 18, very few ships to be delivered and no new orders. And then our capacity of chartering and operating ships and having access to the best charters in the world, I think is the biggest guarantee that we are a well-run company and we tend to provide the best return for our shareholders. I think this would cut us down to for our presentation. I will leave it now for you if there is any Q&A, which is always the most interesting part. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Matteo Bonizzoni of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have one question. I want to have your view on how, on why the positive market condition as regards the spot rates are not filtering into increasing asset value, also given the fact that the book is not so large. So we should expect sooner or later an increase of ship asset value that is not occurring. Why is that in your view? Thanks.
Okay. Matteo, first of all, congratulations. After a long time, you had the first question. Normally, it was reserved for Luigi De Belli, so you've been beating him on that one. He's not there today. That's the only reason why you beat him. On the prices, I think that mainly it is a result of two things, as I was telling you. There is no reason why this should be happening. I totally agree with you. And that's why we have also disposal program of all the ships. We're a little bit puzzled why this is not happening. I think there are mainly two reasons. First of all, there is a less and less number, lower and lower number of banks in shipping involved in financing second-hand ships. So the large banks who are still in shipping, some of them are retiring, a lot of funds are retiring. I think that they are providing limited resources, especially for second-hand buyers. And as I told you, that the second reason, Matteo, I think that there is a lot of players in the smaller companies where they have, you know, this fleet privately owned, there's some dry cargo ships, some tankers. Dry cargo is going through some very difficult times, and you cannot sell ships on the dry cargo side. So these owners are obliged to sell tankers in order to provide liquidity for their company. And I think the combination of these two factors, more ships, second-hand offered, and less capacity of financing, are generating this kind of discrepancy between time charter rates and prices of second-hand ships.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Mr. Fiori, there are no more questions registered at this time.
I don't know. Every time we're getting better and better at this, there's always less and less questions.
Mr. Tommy Johnson from the MICO registered for a question.
Okay.
If I can introduce him, please go on.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering, your buyback program recently expired. What is your plans regarding further buybacks? Is that on the agenda now?
The buyback program has expired, but then has been renewed. So actually, we are still able of buying back, I think, 10% of our, up to 10% of our shares, which is 35 million shares. So it has been renewed for a period of 5 years, because we feel that being able to have a buyback program in place is a very important thing for our shareholders. So you're right, it has expired and has been renewed at the last shareholders meeting that was a month ago or something.
Okay.
But it is an important part of our strategy, for sure.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question is a follow-up from Matteo Bonizzoni of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
So, since we have time, if I may, two additional questions. So the first one is on the spot rates, if you want to provide a little bit more color on the evolution in April, in May, or in general compared to the $18,000 that we had in Q1, that was quite, let's say, reassuring, also compared to the weakish rates that we had in Q4 last year. What are the rates that you are experiencing in April, May, just to have an indication? The second question, if you want, is on the slide 8. So you show that for 2017-18, you have a cover rate that is still quite low, 29% on 2017 and 17% on 2018. Okay. So at what kind of time charter rate do you expect to develop your fleet going forward compared to the one that we see?
Matteo, now you're provoking me. I'll give you some additional data. So first of all, we think in April we're seeing developing very good numbers. April, we see it way above $17,000 per day. So we think that April has been a very good start for Q2. This has been doing. But especially, I would like to draw everybody's attention why this is happening. I think there is a change in global communication, the global strategy of Lynx. I asked to pull out some of the trips that we are seeing. In March, we saw, for example, a trip of one of our ships at $26,000 per day going from Houston to China. So that's a very long trip. That is a route that not often is developing. For example, in March, we also saw a ship, a handy smaller ship, going from Houston to Argentina, and then with the CPP, with the petroleum products, and then loading veg oil and going to India. And all of this, two legs at an average of $19,000 per day. On the other special trips, we see a gasoline from China to Los Angeles at $21,000 a day. So China now is exporting gasoline coming out. Peru to Japan with petroleum products at 17,000 a day. So not only we're seeing good rates, but we're seeing longer stands of trade. And this is very important because this demands to have more ships. And this is keeping up the market where it is now.
Okay. And on the coverage in 2017 and 18, so we are now quite low still, 29 and 17. Do you expect to develop the coverage at similar time charter rates or lower, higher?
No, I think I think that so far we did okay, not going at the 60%, because we've been exploiting this kind of strong spot market. So I think so far we did the right thing. However, as we move forward and if the market is helping us, you'll see us starting to cover more and more and more and more, but not 100%. But we start moving at the 50, 52, 54%. Because, at the end of the day, in shipping is a very cyclical market. I think that we have had at least a couple of years, very good years, probably 3 years. But then, weaker markets will be coming, and we want to be there in a very strong cover position and be able to withstand this weaker market, and then at the bottom of the cycle to be able to buy some more ships, and then we pick up to sell the older ships. So back to square one. It's kind of a wave that goes against the beach, with there's a certain repetition. So we have to be in that position. So I think for the next couple of years, we're going to have a good market. As you remember, if you were on the last conference call, I think you were, I said that 16 will be a decent year, and it's proving to be a decent year. And I think 17 should be a good year if 16 is a good year. 18 is going to be difficult to forecast. But, you know, I think short-term trends, short 2-3 years should still be good, and then we'll see, I think. But then, in the next 2-3 years, we're preparing to have a good coverage at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Fiori, there are no more questions.
Well, listen, thank you very much. When is the next meeting? Is the 28th of July. So we'll be talking again just before the summer. So in the meantime, I think I wish you very good work, and I think we'll be probably talking at some conferences. And if you need any questions, please don't hesitate in asking us. Thank you very much. Again, welcome to Carlos. Thank you to all of my colleagues, because it's all thanks to this joint effort we have been able to achieve this kind of results. Thank you, and talk to you on the 29th of July. Bye-bye. 28th, sorry.